are listening to Sheep Might Fly, a podcast of serialized fiction written and read by Tansy Rayner Robbins. Our current serial is Halloween Is Not a Verb from the Belladonna University series. My Patreon subscribers can already download and read the ebook of this complete serial if you can't stand waiting through the last couple of cliffhangers. And everyone else can pre-order it on Amazon or Smashwords. It will drop on October 31st. Halloween Is Not a Verb, Chapter 13. Minotaurs Have to Live Somewhere. Jules Nightshade was pissed off and cranky and sore, and nothing really made sense right now. The magic had gone wrong. He knew that. The magic had twisted him up in knots and turned him into this big, lumbering thing that couldn't walk in a straight line. The booze was not helping. His head was muzzy and thick, and there was only one thought clear in his entire head. Kill Sage. Viola was panicking. She did not panic very often. She prided herself on being cool, calm, collected, impeccably dressed, and ready for anything. When it came to powerful magic, well, a year or so ago, if something like this happened, she would have known exactly what to do. She would have punched Chauve on the arm and said, "Fix this," because she happened to be BFFs with one of the most talented young shadowmancers of his generation. And this shit is had shadowmancy all over it. How can you have performed a magical act this big without knowing how to unravel it? She demanded of Sage, who looked like he was sobering up really fast. You always leave a thread to pull. That's just basic charm craft. Not when you're so powerful you don't bother to think about conserving energy or safety precautions, because that's for mere mortals, said Hebe in an exhausted voice. Sage shot her a wounded expression, but his friend merely raised an eyebrow. Tell me I'm wrong, Hebe said softly. Tell me you put in an escape thread. I wasn't exactly thinking straight, said Sage. Jules isn't in the habit of thinking about safety either, said Viola. What she didn't say was that we always had someone around who could dismantle dangerous magic faster than either of us could construct it. She had an awful feeling that with Sage still too drunk to be trusted, they were going to have to rely on her to unwork the maze. And, well, there was a reason that Viola's speciality was the theory behind practical mythology. Unravelling magic was so far from being in her comfort zone, and having Chauve around meant that she never had to try and get over that particular weak spot. Oh, hell, she said. What we need is a shadowmancer. Hilarious, grunted Ferdinand Chauvelin, opening his eyes. What hit me? Jules, said Sage, at the same time that May said, Sage. Chauve blinked a few times. His eyes went straight to Hebe because, of course. Are you okay? I'm worried, she said, and held out a hand to help him up. Chauve looked to Viola next. Where's the rogue spell I can't help you take apart? You're standing in it, she told him. Holly was not used to being alone. It wasn't a twin thing, okay? She and Hebe were just fine. Their issue was always needing more space from each other, not less. They weren't clingy like that. But it felt like a really long time since Holly had seen another person. Every twist and turn of the maze felt like it was dragging her deeper into isolation. You couldn't cut the walls or blast through them. Holly had tried once, but the damn thing all but sucked the magic out of her fingers. There were hex traps everywhere. She had tripped twice, almost had her hand bitten off by a rogue butternut pumpkin, and narrowly avoided some very spiky straw darts. She should have stayed where she was when the maze first hit. At least she'd only been a wall away from Juniper. She hadn't felt so alone. Every now and then the maze shook and hummed as some idiot outside tried to fix it with more magic. Those instances were getting rarer, so either the mums and the rest of the party guests were actually listening to Juniper's warning, or they were making sensible life choices all on their own, or, well, or she was too deeply lost in this maze to even be aware of what was happening outside it. Bad thought, Holly. She heard a sound, Not a magical sound, but a deep animalistic growl somewhere far too close. That couldn't be good. Just as she was working up a good head of panic, Holly rounded a corner and almost fell over a throw cushion. Unexpected. When she looked ahead, she saw more of them scattered liberally in a path, occasionally interspersed with cups of tea and plated sandwiches. Holly had never been so grateful to see a sign of her sister's weird housewife magic in her whole life. She ran, following the trail of domestic detritus, leaping nimbly over a large teapot, and crashed smack into the large and comforting chest of her drummer. Sage! Hole! He scooped her up and gave her a drunky hug that smelled of cider and whatever yarn his jumper was made of. Found you! Found you! She said, punching his shoulder delightedly. Did you make this horrible place? Yep. You're an asshole. Yep. You're going the wrong way, said Hebe, appearing from behind the solid mass of sage. Oh, this was where the party was. There was Viola, May, and Ferd, too. I mean, the trail is supposed to lead us further into the maze, to collect jewels and deactivate the spell. That's a really optimistic view of what we're trying to achieve here, said Viola. She gave Holly that look, the I suspect you have never doing the readings for your tutorials look, that always marked Viola out as staff rather than student, and meant they could never 100% be friends. How's your shadowmancy? I was going to take it as an elective, said Holly, but it seemed hard, so I did basket weaving instead. Viola groaned. This social group is cancelled. I always thought shadowmancy was about inventing spells, said Holly. Don't we have enough of that going on around here? It's about the building blocks of magic, said Ferd, his eyes brighter than usual. Everyone was always treading on eggshells around him, Holly thought, because of that whole thing where he lost his magic. Probably this was the first time he'd had a chance to have a proper conversation about it in ages, which was a pity since it was clearly his favourite thing ever. If you understand the individual components of any given spell, you can mend a faulty piece of magic or disassemble it neatly without causing any explosive fallout. But it's precision work, and it's highly reliant on a specific vocabulary to move the components around without creating more of a mess. Oh, said Holly. So like songwriting, then? Ferd gave her a wild look. Like what? You know, she shrugged. The more you understand and practice music, the more you can see where a song doesn't work. Sometimes it just takes one note to throw the whole thing off. And finding it and replacing that note, or that word, it's tricky to do. The whole thing can just collapse. That's why Sage and Juniper and I rely on each other so much to fix each other's songs. When they're broken. Ferd was staring at her like she'd just reinvented caffeine-free Coke. What? Holly said uncomfortably. This can't be new information. I know you were doing that poetry course. Writing spells is basically the same thing. Huh, said Ferd. I think I can work with this. Work with what? It wasn't shadowmancy in the end. There wasn't time for Holly to absorb an entire school of magic, not even with her charming lack of magical theory to unlearn, as Viola put it. But remembering words, that much she could do. So when the group of them finally emerged to the centre of the maze, where the monstrous form of giant Minotaur Jules was found snacking on a wall, constructed entirely from toffee apples, scorched butternut pumpkins, and fun-sized Milky Way bars. Holly cast the words that Ferd had taught her, a three-layered revealing spell to display the charm work Jules and Sage had come up with in their moment of drunken creation. Ugh, said Viola, as the words and symbols filled the air around the snacking Minotaur, glowing with light. I mean, it's brilliant. I hate that they're geniuses, even when wasted. There are words in that spell that shouldn't even exist. My favourite kind, Ferd said fondly. Holly caught Viola giving her BFF a weird look, like she didn't know what to do with him not being heartsick about the giant magical tragedy of his life. But there wasn't time for any of that. Holly and Viola took turns reading out the exposed language of the spell, which Ferd absorbed and considered, before telling them which symbols to erase, which lines to cut. He couldn't see the revealed charm components at all, but he didn't seem to have lost any knowledge about how they should fit together. As they all worked, Holly felt the maze begin to fade around them, the walls thinning. Holly was particularly pleased when she erased a whole rhyming couplet of ancient Minoan obscenities, and Jules Nightshade promptly swooned out of the shape of a minotaur, landing shirtless on the hay-strewn ground. "You could have caught him," May observed. "My reflexes are off," grunted Sage, who had literally stepped out of the way to avoid catching Jules. May glared at him and waggled her comedy spectacles. "Don't sink my ship, mate. You're already on thin ice around here." It took another 20 minutes of concentrated spell trimming before the maze cracked open like an egg, folding itself back into straw and boxes of Halloween snacks and the undamaged barn. Holly heard a high-pitched noise and turned around just in time to see Juniper, warm and huggable as ever, crashing into her arms. "You're okay," Juniper said happily, burying her face in Holly's neck. "I was worried." "Nah," said Holly, trying not to smile too wide. "We were having fun." Shadowmancy, it turned out, was something she enjoyed almost as much as writing songs, and she didn't want to think about that too hard. Not when she had a Juniper to hug, anyway. "You're good at that," Ferd said to Holly later, as they all recovered with hot mugs of chocolate and or pumpkin soup around a dying bonfire. The mums directed most of their protective worry at Jules and Sage, interspersed with lectures about responsible magic use and spellcasting under the influence. It was so nice not to be the person getting those lectures. So this was what it was like to be the good sibling. "Eh," said Holly, "I don't think I'll be making a career of it." "You should consider," said Ferd hesitantly. "I mean, the College of the Real are always looking for..." "I graduate in 6 weeks," she reminded him. "I'm done with Belladonna University." "Oh, yeah," he said in a small voice, and looked across the fire to where Hebe had joined the mums in lecturing Sage. "You should write us a song," she said impulsively, "since Shadowmancy is so close to what I do. Give it a go. You might not hate it." Ferd laughed at her, but he didn't say no. It was, hands down, the best conversation Holly had managed to share with her sister's boyfriend. Thanks for listening to Sheep Might Fly. Come back next week for the epilogue that wraps up this epic Halloween saga. You can sign up to my author newsletter for updates. Follow me on Twitter at TansyRR or at Sheep Might Fly. Follow me on Facebook at TansyRR Books. And if you like this podcast, consider supporting me at Patreon, where you can receive all kinds of cool rewards, early ebooks, and exclusive stories for a small monthly pledge. See you next week.